Hello, and welcome to How Do You Deal With, a podcast hosted by me, Joelle Riding. After 3 years of running my own business, doing the work, and taking aligned action, I have created this podcast to help you create the life of your dreams and become a leader in your space. Each week, I'll be bringing you nuggets of wisdom, new and exciting resources you should know about to make your life easier, and guest experts committed to making you feel less alone in this crazy world. I am here because I believe you are worthy of all the love, joy, excitement, and connection this world has to offer. Not just during the good times, not just during the bad. I truly believe that we can have it all, and when the going gets tough, I'm here to lift you up and surround you with high vibes and great people. Come along as I ask the question, how do you deal with it? Thank you for tuning in. I am so excited you're here. Let's get going. What's up, guys? How are we doing today? I am so excited to share another long form interview with you all today, and it is with the one and only Jillian Murphy. Jillian is an old time friend and just an incredible entrepreneur. I want to read her bio to you all real quick because holy shit. Jillian Murphy is a top sales industry sales leader, business network, and marketing mentor. She has nearly 20 years of experience in sales and growing multiple businesses, and she helps real girls who want to grow and master sales with an amazing community of women supporting them. She has grown her online business from zero to $250,000 in 15 months. Not only does she teach real girls the art of sales, but she helps them refine and master skills they need by using her signature framework to grow their own businesses to six plus figures as well. So truly just an amazing, amazing sales person, sales mentor. I am absolutely blown away by her because, yeah, when I first met her, she was in this mastermind and she was in corporate. She was kind of interested, but like, didn't really have, you know, this own business. And then like everything played out in the way that it did. Now she has her own business. She literally, yeah, grew it from zero to $250,000 so quickly. I'm so impressed by her. And I asked her to come on today because I feel like sales is something that all of us, no matter what we are, whatever career we're in, whatever job we have, I feel like sales is something that all of us could use, can use, do use in our daily lives. And I feel like we can all learn about just how to be better salespeople, because being a salesperson, in my opinion, is all about growing relationships. And I think a lot of people get stuck in the mindset of sales is icky, or I don't want to be salesy. But if you're coming at it from that viewpoint, in my opinion, you're not focusing on just creating relationships with people. I used to, kind of be averse to sales and selling, because in my head I was like, oh, like, I just don't want them to like think I'm trying to take their money, or, you know, I was just very insecure in my offerings. And then kind of switched it in the last few years of, ooh, instead of thinking about it like, oh, I'm here to just take your money, like, no, I have a solution to your problem. And also, like, I just want to get to know you. Like, you're doing dope shit, I'm doing dope shit. And now it just feels like I get to work with all my closest friends. So I'm really excited for the conversation today, whether you own your own business or not, or like even in relationships, there's aspects of sales that can be applied to everything. So really, really excited for the interview today with Jillian. So many good takeaways, and yeah, let's tune in, shall we? What is up, guys? Welcome back to How Do You Deal With? We have another amazing week, another amazing guest. We got Jillian Murphy in the house, who like, homegirl and I go way back, and I am so excited to have her on because, first, like, I haven't talked to you in a while, so I'm really excited to catch up, but also she is the queen of sales. And I feel like no matter what area of life, like whether you own a business, whether you work for someone, whether you, I don't know, just want to be a better partner, I feel like sales can be utilized in all areas. And so I'm so excited you're here, Jillian. Hi.
What's up? What's up? I'm so happy I'm here. And it's so funny because I'm actually in my home office and I have a picture over there, and it's our first picture we ever took together. We were in Fast Foundation. So I'm like, I see you every day in my office.
Yeah, that photo literally always brings me joy because, like, I think everyone in that photo I'm like super tight with. Like, yeah, those are my people.
My people.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, hi. First off, I always have to ask, where are you located right now?
We are in Detroit, Michigan. Beautiful, rainy Detroit, Michigan today.
Amazing. Are you planning on staying in Detroit? Because I think you've been there like most of your life, right?
I have been here all 42 years of my life. I actually don't love it. And it's interesting because I always said, I have a 19-year-old, and I always said, well, I have to stay because, like, I have a daughter here. And my daughter actually took me to dinner on Wednesday night. And she was like, hey, I have something to tell you. And I was like, okay, you're either getting married, you're not pregnant because she's a lesbian, or you're like moving somewhere. And she's moving to South Carolina on Sunday in like 48 hours.
Oh
Yeah.
my God.
Her and her girlfriend want like a fresh start. They want to move somewhere warm. So they are moving to Myrtle Beach on Sunday.
Holy
Yeah.
shit. That's like
Yeah.
such a quick turnaround.
Like literally quick. I didn't even have time to like mourn it.
Oh my
Because it was like,
God.
hey, I'm moving and I need some money and I need boxes. And can you give me an oil change? Like it was like so quick.
Yeah. Did she just graduate college or like 19? Was she living with you, living in her own place? Like, where was she living?
Yeah, no, she moved out the day she turned 18. She was like that kid that was like, as soon as I turn 18, like I am out. She's had the same girlfriend since the beginning of high school. So they've been together like, you know, an eternity in high school the years, basically.
True.
And they moved out together in 18 when they turned 18, and they've been together like a year living together. They live about a mile or two away, so I see her all the time. And they're like, yeah, we're just gonna move to South Carolina. And like, if we're gonna live together, why live somewhere where it's like crappy and rainy and cold? So I was like, okay. Yeah. So she is not in school. She is done with school. She went to beauty school. And now she's
Cool.
just gonna go like live on the beach. Who knows what she's gonna do? Who knows?
Wow. That's
Yeah.
so, how are you feeling about that? Like, I know that like you love your daughter and you've always talked about how like you guys are basically like best friends, which
We
I
are. We
love,
actually, I
but
actually have a
yeah.
tattoo on my arm and it says constant. You can't see it, but it's up here. And we got it because like we are always like each other's constant. And like through all the ups and downs of like marriage and divorce and business and whatever, like we've been each other's constant. So I'm sad. I'm super, 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 super sad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, super
Yeah.
sad.
How much do
But
you
you
think you're
know,
going to visit her?
I think I'm gonna visit her a lot, like probably a lot. And it's so funny because she's like, it's like girls trips, like come down whenever you want, you know? And so yeah, I'm gonna be excited. I'm gonna go visit her a lot. But I've actually been dealing with like a vestibular issue with my ears. So I actually can't fly
Oh my
or go on a
gosh.
boat or go on a boat. Yeah, it's been like almost 2.5 months. So it has to be a drive there. So that'll definitely hinder it a little bit because it's like 13 or 14 hours.
So the vestibular, I'm not good at saying that, but is that like a long-term thing? Is there an end in sight? Are we not sure? Like,
We are not sure. So I am like, you guys, I have to kind of tell you guys a story, okay? I was living a totally great life, no issues, no health concerns. I went to Sedona. I traveled from Michigan to Sedona, went to a retreat. From Sedona, I went to Turks and Caicos, got on a boat for the day. 2 days later, I came home. The day I got home, I was like, this feels a little off, like something is off. And basically, there's like this super rare syndrome called mal debarkment, which is basically when you integrate back to land, you're vestibular system doesn't realize it. So I feel like I'm on a boat 24 hours a day. So like nauseous, swaying, computer moves at all times. That's why I'm trying out like 17 different pairs of glasses. I'm in like vestibular rehab. It's like it's
oh my
been this
God.
like insane shit show for 2 months.
Whoa. I
Yeah.
am so sorry. Yeah, that's gotta feel so ungrounding.
It's so ungrounding. And then like us as business owners, everything I do is on the computer. So
Yeah.
my biggest struggle is on the computer. So like talking on Zooms, reading Zoom chats, emails, Instagram. So like everything I do on a daily basis is like so much harder.
Wow. I'm
Yeah.
so sorry. I hope that you said you're in rehab or not rehab, but therapy for it.
I'm
So
technically in
hopefully
rehab. Yeah. I'm in like
the
vestibular rehab. It's like they put your head in all these different positions and they try to get your balance back. And it was interesting because quick story for you, like I've had cancer a few times. So when this first happened, they threw me through the gamut. Like, oh, maybe you have cancer, maybe you have MS, maybe you have like all of these things. And I had actually gone to 24 specialists in August and September, ER 7 times. And it wasn't until I went to this like physical therapist, this like super cute little Indian man that was like, I know what you have. And I was like, I literally want to just hug you so much.
It's so like life-changing when you finally feel like seen and that you're
Yes.
not crazy. And I am so sorry you had to go that through that for so long. Like, I had a little bit of like health issues for a couple months, and after like the eighth time at the doctor, like I was just in tears because I was like, I'm so sick of this. Like, people keep telling me nothing's wrong and like something is not right. And it's just so, it's the worst feeling in the world. So I'm glad that like you finally got to the bottom of it and
And
had
we know our
somebody like
bodies,
help
right?
you.
Like we know how we feel. I had told my neurologist, I said, I'm gonna come back here every day. I'm like, you guys put people on the fucking moon and you can't figure out why I'm dizzy. Like, figure it
Right.
out. Yeah, I was getting so frustrated. I'm glad you're feeling
Absolutely.
better too. It looks like you're doing good. Looks like you're happy. Maybe with a little bit of love these days.
Yeah, super in love.
Not
It's
just like a little in love. I'm super in love.
it's a good time. I like can't believe the last year, and just like I really, it's just everything has happened so beautifully. And it's funny because I'm right now like reading this book, or have you read The Big Leap?
I have not, but I saw it in your stories. Do I need to read it?
Yeah, so this is where Zone of Genius comes from. Like, you know how everybody says Zone of Genius, Zone of Excellence. So that is where that phrase is like coined originally. And so I read this book. It's been on my radar since like I started entrepreneurship. Finally started reading it, and like the big premise is essentially that we all have this upper limit of like happiness and success and like abundance, and that a lot of times that we will self-sabotage and get in our own way and like do something to get us back to where we're comfortable, whether it's subconsciously or consciously. And it's just been interesting. And so like right now I feel like, so I've been in this like honeymoon bliss for like all these months, and
Yeah,
now
I'm
like
living
all of
vicariously
this,
through you, by the way.
oh, I love you.
You're
Thank you. You're
welcome.
so sweet. I Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's nice to have someone who's obsessed with you, not gonna lie. And like I'm obsessed with him. But I was gonna say, like, it's just been interesting because I can feel the like upper limit of like this is like the healthiest relationship I've ever been in. Like, bar none. I did not know it could be this good, did not know, like, you know, and it's just been interesting. So yes, absolutely in love, but also want to be real and say that like I just got back into therapy because like I'm hitting up some things that like I thought I was over, thought I was like worked through, and they're coming up again as like anxieties. So, you know, pros and
I'm
cons
a
of
solo
everything.
therapy girl. I'm right there with you. I got my weekly appointment too, so like let's keep it real,
Yes. And speaking of keeping it real, I literally like that's your whole thing. And I
It
would love
is.
to like dive into this now because holy shit, like let's go. When I met you, Jillian, I met you March 2020. Crazy that we literally had an in-person event and flew home and like COVID, the world shut down. But like I remember meeting you and you were like, okay, well, I quit corporate. I don't know what I'm doing, but I feel like I need to be in this room. I have no idea. I don't know what a sales page is. I don't know what social media is. Like, you were just like this
I was
little
like,
like
what do
bunny.
you guys all do? How do you entrepreneurs do? I have no idea, but I'm like pretty fucking intrigued.
Yes. And so like let's back it up to that of like how did that decision come about of like you were in corporate, decided to leave and like join this random mastermind? Like, how did that all play out?
It literally was so random. So I am also in a little bit of network marketing, and some of my upline were going to Fast Foundations, the Chris and Lori Harder event. And they were like, hey, we're going to this event. It's in LA. It's like 3 days. Like, it'll be super fun. And I'm like, I'm in. Like, my best friend lives in LA. Like, I'll go. And I was like, I'm always open to like hearing things. I had no idea what it was. I had no idea what a mastermind was. I had no idea who Chris and Lori Harder were. People were like talking about them like they were like gods. I'm like, who are these people? I walk into this room. I'm like, what am I doing? We're in the room for 15 minutes, and Chris says, hey, you guys got to come up to the front of the room and like give an introduction of like what you do. And I remember I had a post-it and it was like blank, and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I was literally like, I'm in corporate. I love corporate. I don't know what all of you entrepreneurs do. Like, I'm here because it's in LA and it's going to be super fun. And that like day changed my life. From there, we went to lunch, and I had the opportunity to sit next to Nick Carter. And Nick Carter was like, so what do you do? And I was like, oh, I'm in corporate sales. I train 222 men. I've been in sales for 22 years. And he's like, do you earn more every time you get a new rep under you? And I was like, no. And he's like, do you earn more the more you sell? And I was like, no. And he like put something in my head that day. Interestingly enough, I was never planning on leaving corporate. I was obsessed with corporate. Came home, the pandemic happened, right? 6 weeks later, I lost my corporate job, multiple six-figure income, lost my corporate job. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank God I went to that event in LA because there is something that I can do. I'm going to tap back into these people and figure it out. And I did. I created a brand. I created a business. I created a community and was able to obviously replace my income quickly. And yeah, you know, about 4x'd it since I've been in the space. So it feels pretty good.
Yeah, it's. I didn't know that it was very much on a whim like that. Like I never really asked you. I thought so. I was like, I can't wait to get her on the show and talk about it because, yeah, we all end up in the room, you know, for different reasons and different ways. And obviously, yeah, very much divine timing. And
yeah, and I lost my corporate job on a Tuesday, and I hired my first business coach on a Thursday. I didn't even have any income coming in, and I remember I wrote a check for $5,000 and like sent it over, and I was like, I got to figure out how to do this quicker, easier. Someone who's done it, and I gotta figure it out. So I remember it was so scary because we know as coaches and people who invest in us, like investing's scary. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, and I have no more income coming in, and I'm about to just like send this money to this random girl on the internet and hope that she can help me. And thank God she did, and she's a great friend of mine now. But yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. So I was gonna ask, you had a good experience with your first coach. Also, I love that for you. And let's talk about investing in yourself. Like that's scary. And a lot of people don't do it. And a lot of people like, it's very scary. And so I commend you for doing it and not thinking about it or like not, maybe you thought it, I'm sure you thought about it, but tell me like what those feelings felt like. And then like working with a coach, what were some things that you didn't expect about it?
So it was really interesting because in all of 2021, 20, what year was that? 20?
20.
Our first year.
Yeah.
My first year in entrepreneurship, the same year that I lost my corporate job, I invested $52,000 that year. I invested it in masterminds, coaches, programs to be in rooms that like my ideal client was in. So, I mean, I always say like, it's no secret. I joined programs that like my people were in just to kind of like get there quicker. And there's a thing called the omnipresence. If you've ever never read the book, the six pillars of a seven-figure business. Amazing book. And he talks about omnipresence. And that is where like no one knows you. And then all of a sudden people are like, why do I keep seeing this girl everywhere? So that was my goal. I was like, I'm going to be everywhere. I'm going to be on the podcast. I'm going to be on IG Live. I'm going to be in all these programs. So I made massive investments the first year. What I learned working with a coach is that one, they're great. They mentor you. They guide you. They pull things out of you. But then there's usually a time too that you outgrow them. So my first business coach was amazing. I love her to pieces, but there was a point that like, then I outgrew her. We were almost like a level, you know, then I hired another business coach who I've been with now for almost 9 months. I've been in several other masterminds. I just made an investment today. So I think it's always about if you want people to invest in you, you have to always be leveling up. I can't be teaching the same things I taught last year. I have to learn more. I have to grow. I have to expand. So I have to invest so that I can be a better coach and mentor for my humans.
Yeah. And that's such like a good lesson in general of you shouldn't be the smartest person in the room. And when you're finding a coach, that's a really good point. Like, I think that something I've never really thought about, honestly, of like, if you're looking for a coach, like you can find a bunch of great coaches, but finding a coach that's on your, like, is ahead of you is super important because you don't want to get a coach that's on the same level of you. Cause I'm like, what are you going to learn? It's kind of just gonna be like an accountability partner. So investing in someone that's a lot better than you or knows more than you, that seems like where it all is.
I have two rule of thumbs too. When I invest, and this is probably a little bit of the corporate mindset, they can't have just had success online. They can't just be a coach that came online and is successful as an online coach, because a lot of people come into this space and they're now experts. And they've never really done anything in like the real world, as I like to call it. So if I'm going to invest in somebody, they have had to have had success in the outside world, whether it's real estate, whether it's business, whether it's sales, whether it's mindset, maybe they were a therapist, whatever it is. I'm not just going to work with someone that like read a book and had really good marketing and is now a coach online. Second thing that I ask myself is who is pouring into that coach? So for an example, you know, people work with me and they know that like Chris Harder's pouring into me. Raquel Quinette's pouring into me. You know, I've had some other great people pour into me. So when I'm looking for a coach, who's pouring into them? So like my coach, Raquel, you know, her coach is this guy, Sharon. So I know I'm just one person away from Sharon. So that's also like my thing too, is like, who's pouring into your coach?
I love that. Great, great value right there. Honestly,
like I might make like an Instagram post about that or something.
There you go. You know, that's what these podcasts are for, to light bulb moments. So now you are a year and a half in, and you are literally like the sales queen. And I think that's amazing that you are talking about omnipresence. I've never like considered that, but that's literally what you have done. Like, guys, every single group that I'm in, everyone I know, if like sales is mentioned, Jillian is tagged. And I think that that's beautiful because you do know what you're doing, because you've had, oh my God, what, 25 years?
Yeah, 22 years. And what that's called too is like mental real estate. So, you know, if you're listening to this right now and you're an entrepreneur, when other people think of you, what comes to mind? You know, if someone says to me, like, hey, I need a website, I'm like, I got a girl, Joelle. Yeah. If someone's like, hey, I need someone to help me scale, I'm like, I got a girl, Raquel. Someone's like, hey, I need sales, I got Jill. So like, what are you putting out into the world, into social media, that people know when they need that? It's it. I mean, we're in fast foundations right now. Somebody just made a post today and was like, hey, I need someone to come in and teach sales about through the Black Friday. Like, four people were like, Jillian Murphy, Jillian Murphy, Jillian Murphy. Because I'm not trying to be known for 1700 different things.
Yes.
I'm just known for one thing. Now I teach a lot under it, but when people think sales, they go to one person, just like you, right? Like, people are like, oh, I need this. I got Joelle.
Yeah. And that's an amazing, literally the best piece of advice I think that like anyone can teach is like, when you're starting out, do not try to do a bunch of things. Like, figure out your one thing, figure out your niche. Like, it's always talked about niche down, niche down, niche down. But like, you want to be known for that one thing, and then you can definitely like offer other services. But yeah, it's like she said, like, you, sales, Jillian, website, Joelle, like, it, that's a really important mental space to be in. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have a lot of one-on-one clients. And if somebody was to ask me like, what do they do? Sometimes I'm like, I don't really know, because they're not sure what they do, or they do all the things, right? Like, they do all the things. So it's really hard to like refer them out. Also, one of the things I love to say, I learned this from Regina Lawrence, also someone in our mastermind, is don't try to be cute. Be very clear. So we have a lot of people in this space, entrepreneurs, who come in and they're like, oh, I'm going to be this and I'm going to be this. And it's like fluffy and cute, and it's not clear what you actually do. So the more clear you can be, so like, don't be cute in your wording. Don't be cute in your messaging. Be very, very, very clear and concise, because then other people will always be able to refer you out.
Yeah. I think Emily Kincada, like, she just came and had that, our talk in that mastermind of basically talking about feelings. So like, I make you feel empowered. I make you feel authentic. I make you feel good. Like, yeah, all of that is beautiful, but like, that doesn't do anything for me as like a person who's trying to refer you or is trying to work for you. Like, what do you mean that you make me feel authentic? How are you actually going to get that done?
And like, what is authentic to you is different than what's authentic to me. Living your best life is different for you than different for me. And it's so hard when people are trying to sell those like things. They're just like, they're not tangible. Like, what is selling your best life? Joelle, that might be like drinking beer with her beau. And me, it might be like traveling solo. So it's like, how are you even giving people those results if you don't even really know what it is?
Such good advice. Thanks. So yeah, now you're a year and a half in, and what do you... Like, you probably have a bunch of different offers. Like, what are you helping people with? Do you have different containers that you're doing? Because, yeah, like, I'm so proud of you and happy for, like, the success that you found. It's absolutely incredible. But, yeah, like, tell me how you're working with people now.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. I think it's good to get good at one thing first. This is also from the book, Six Pillars of a Six-Figure Business, or Six Pillars to a Seven-Figure Business, is create a core offer first. Have one thing and do it well, do it good, run it, be successful at it, and then build what I like to call like ascension offers off of it, and then intimate offers off of it. So my core program that I run, you know, four or five times a year is called Real Girl, Real Sales. Now, I did just change it because I just started working with men last 2 weeks. So now it is just Real Sales, Real Results, because I've opened that up. But for the first year I was in business, just women, right? So I basically got rid of like half of the population because I niched down. Got really good at one of my offers. Then from there, instead of me creating something, I ask my audience, what do you want? What do you need? then they told me and I created it. So part of the reason that I always say, part of the reason that I've been successful in this space, yes, it has to do with that I can close business. Yes, it has to do that I can articulate my message, but I don't create anything that my audience does not ask for. Nothing. If they ask for it, I then create it. I have an interesting story. I created this one time. One time I created this program called The Community. It was $97. I thought it was gonna be like my claim to millions. I was like, I'm gonna sell hundreds of people in this program. I'm gonna pack them into this Facebook group. And I sold six people. But in the meantime, I was selling $5,000 masterminds, $8,000 coaching, all these other things. And it occurred to me that nobody asked for the community. Nobody wanted this group where I came in twice a month and gave like roundtable coaching. I thought it was great, and that's why I didn't sell. And I think so often in sales, we have to go back to our audience and be like, what do they desire to have, and how can I create that? And that's where the magic happens, right? I just hosted a retreat. I asked my audience, hey, do you want to go on a retreat? Yes or no? Yes. Hey, do you guys want to go to Sedona? Yes. Do you want work or play? Work. Do you want to hike or meditation? Meditation. Hey guys, I've created a retreat to Sedona. We're going to be doing a little bit of work, a little bit of play. And like, I just created it back. And that's, I think, why things sell so well that I touch, because I really listen to what they need.
That I think right now, not gonna lie, is my biggest pain point. I think that like I am trying to follow what other people or in the space or designers are doing and offering. And I'm like, oh, okay, like this is what their community wants. So obviously that's what my community wants. And I'm struggling with asking my community. I'm struggling with my asking because like I feel like it's almost like my questions aren't like clear or they're not giving me feedback. So if do you have any advice for that? If anyone feels like, okay, wait, like you're saying to ask my community, but they're not really giving me anything,
Yeah.
how can I maybe get more engagement?
I would say ask a different way. Think about when you're dating someone and you ask them a question and you don't get the answer that you want or the communication that you want. You have to go back and be like, how could I ask that differently? Right? So if I was to say to my audience, would you be interested in a 6-week intensive? And nobody responds, I know that they either don't know what that means or it's just not hitting them. So then maybe I'll ask a question that said, would you rather have a group coaching program or one-on-one? So then they say one-on-one. Then I go back and say, would you be interested in 6 weeks or 3 weeks? 6 weeks. So what they did want was a 6-week intensive, but the way that I asked the first time didn't resonate with them. Also, knowing that you have to ask sometimes multiple times in multiple different ways to kind of get it. Also, any program that I have a halfway survey because I want to make sure that I'm giving them exactly what they want. Like I run a 6-month mastermind. 3 months through, it's like a temperature check. What do you guys like? What do you not like? Do you guys want more speakers? Do you want more lessons? Like, what do you want? Then I can deliver back the results that they want. So I think that that's really, really, really important. And sometimes you just have to ask a different way. A lot of times I will ask in other Facebook groups, like, what's something that you struggle with in sales? What would make website design easier? Would you like websites in a weekend? Like, what would make sense? And then get them to tell you, then go back and offer it. Hey, Jill, I saw that you answered a poll that you would like a website in a weekend. That's amazing. That's actually something that I'm doing right now, and I'd love to invite you in. Perfect. I just said I wanted
Smart. Yeah.
Thanks.
I think the first time I ever like heard that was our first round of Ask Foundations where it's like don't create it until you've sold it. I think Jess Glazer like had a talk
Yes.
about that. And I remember like it just did not make sense to me. I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Like I can't just like sell something I haven't created yet. But honestly, you save so much time and effort by doing it this way, where it's like you're warming up your audience, you're seeing if they're even interested, and then you put them on a wait list while you create, or you know, sometimes you're creating it as they're entering. Like there's so many different ways to do it, but
There's so many different ways.
really, really good advice. Thank you for
And a
that.
lot of times people will come to me like when they're struggling in sales or their launch isn't going well or they're not creating consistent cash months. And the first thing I always ask is, did your audience ask for this? Did they ask for this? Is this what they want? I just had a call right before you. And this girl's planning a wellness retreat and she's trying to sell 30 people in it. And the first thing I said to her was, do your people want a wellness retreat? Have they asked for it? Have you asked them? Or do you think it's a really good idea? So now you're trying to sell something that people don't necessarily even know they need or want yet. And that's where I see the biggest struggle in sales is it's not your messaging. It's not that you can't handle objections. It's not that you're not confident. It's that you have an idea of what your audience wants, and that's not at all what they want.
I feel like you can like just spend so much time figuring out ideal client and your audience and market research. Like I'm, you know, 3 years in and I still am always tweaking, always trying to make it better, always trying to get into my client's head a little bit more. Because honestly, if you can figure that piece of the puzzle out, I truly believe that everything else would come so easily. Like, like sales. I think that I have never been super intimidated by sales. I mean, when I first started, I was, but definitely like now I'm not as intimidated by sales because I see it more as relationship building, where
yeah,
it's like
it's humans to humans.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's hop on a conversation and see if I can help you and you can help me. And like, let's make sure that we're aligned. And I think that, I think, yeah, I would love to hear your viewpoint on that. Like, do you feel that that is also how you kind of approach things, more relationship building? How do you build relationships and like talk to people?
Yeah. So interesting that you asked that question, because when I came into the online space, the first thing I did was I created a Facebook group, and I created a Facebook group in the pandemic, March. So March, April, May, June, July, 5 months, 5 months, every day I showed up in that Facebook group and gave a lesson. I did not sell my audience anything for 5 months because they had no idea who I was. So one, I had to really build. I mean, everyone knows like, know, and trust, but I think it's even deeper, like seen, love, and heard. I want my ideal client to know that I see them, I hear them, and I love them. So I always say like, I loved my community way before like they loved me, because I wanted to like love on them and give them what I want. But at the end of the day, it is like humans to humans. Like that's literally all it is. And if you have a solution over here, and they have a pain point or a desire, because you can sell on pain points or you can sell on desire, two totally different things. You just have to just tell people like, I have it. And do you want it? Does this sound like something that you need? So that's really like my approach to sales all the time. If you were to come to me right now and say like, hey, how do I work with you? I wouldn't just say like, here's my links. I'd be like, Joelle, tell me what's worked for you. Tell me what hasn't worked for you. How do you like to be coached? How do you like to be mentored? Another question I ask is why now? Why now are you seeking out coaching, mentorship, guidance, sales, business? What is it right now that's happening? Then I say, I have all of these things in my toolbox. You have these needs. Let's see if it's a good fit for you and I to work together. And I always say like, I'm going to invite you in, because at the end of the day, like you're not just interviewing me. I'm interviewing you too. There's no one on my schedule that I would not like be stuck in a boat with all day long or have brunch with. Because as entrepreneurs, we get to pick who we work with.
Yes. Yes. And our energy is so important. And like, I love that. Recently, this is a lesson like I'm kind of learning right now, is the importance and power of saying no, but also yes. So when you say no to things or people or programs that don't light you up, you're leaving the space open for the thing or the person or whatever to come in that is a fuck yes.
Yes.
But if you fill everything, your schedule, your program with like people who don't light you up, people don't energize you, then you're going to be burnt out and you're not going to have the like space or the energy.
Yeah, you're going to hate it.
Yeah. Give it to the people that actually would light you up.
There is, in the last year and a half, there's probably been two, maybe three clients that like energetically drained me. And all three of them at the end of whatever that program was, I didn't offer them the next thing. So anytime you work with me, like, guys, I will sell you on the next program, next thing, the next offer, whatever it is. And they were just people that I didn't. And I said, you know what? It's been great working with you. I think that you'd be a better fit for this person over here. So I help guide them to who I think the better person is. But energetically, if we're not a good mix, it doesn't matter how much you're paying me.
Yeah, it doesn't serve either of you. It doesn't serve you. It doesn't serve them. Like, you want to be excited about working with the person because you're going to show up bigger and better, and then and vice versa. So, yeah. So
even if I didn't love you and you asked me to be in your podcast, I'd be like, no, it's not a good fit.
Yeah, I feel that. I know. You know I'm actually, I'm so excited that like, because the podcast, I took a break. Like, I did a second season in November, and then I kept trying to restart it and it kept just feeling like off. And I kept being like, Like the energy's not here. I don't know why. I don't know what. And then finally, I don't know if you were on that call, but like I was talking to Chris on the Fast Foundations call, and I was like, I have this podcast. I love it, but I also want to talk about all this other stuff. Like I don't want to only talk. And he was like, yeah, it's your podcast. Like you get to do whatever you want. And I was like, oh, like thank you for the permission
Thank
slip.
you. Yeah, I've always wanted to do a podcast. I've always wanted to do one. Maybe I'll start one next
Yeah.
year.
Hell yeah. I
Yeah.
mean, I wouldn't put it past you. You are
Oh
amazing at everything that you do. So
my gosh, thank
now,
you.
next up, like what are you planning on for the rest of the year? Like, yeah, tell me
Yeah,
more.
so I have a program right now that's running. And then I'm a really big believer in like front loading my year. So I actually tried to front load my year so that my year ended in July 1st. So what that means is that like a lot of people will say like, oh, I have until month end, I have until the end of the year, and then it gets harder and harder and harder. So I actually set my years up, and I did this when I was in corporate, to be in like sprints. So my year ended basically in like July for the income that I needed to bring in. So now everything in the second half of the year is extra, or it's audience acquisition, it's podcast, it's relationship building, it's content creating, and then kind of creating something new for 2022. But I'm actually really excited because I've never worked with men before. And I just opened it up, and we actually have a mutual friend from Fast Foundations who is going to be probably my first male client.
Oh my
And it was
gosh.
funny because he had asked me, like, do you work with men? And my initial thing was, no, I don't. And then I was like, no. I think like I could bring a few on. So again, especially with like my masculine energy and being from corporate. So yeah, I'm super excited. So real girl sales is just changing to real sales, real results for next year. It's getting a little bit of a sophisticated brand upgrade. And yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. I have I don't know if I've ever heard of that. Like you said, you got it from corporate, where like you, yeah, front load your year, and then the second half of the year, like you get to do maybe more fun things or things that aren't as much work. I love the idea of that. That's really special, and I also love that you literally have transcended so much of being the sales queen. That now not only like you are targeting women, but now like men are coming to you being like, "Hey, yo, I gotta
Yo,
work
yo,
with you."
yo. Right. And it's funny because like I'm in network marketing too. And even like in that, like I set my months to end on the 15th. Because you see these like network marketers, I mean, if we're talking sales, like, oh, I gotta get three more orders in by the end of the month, and it's the 27th, and they're freaking out, and then they don't miss it. It's like, and I teach this to all the women that I work with, front load it. Your month ends on the 15th. Your year ends on July 1st. You know, if you want to have a challenge, it ends on the 10th of the month. Then you have a little bit of grace, but you're not pushing it off. We're procrastinators by nature. So the more that you can front load, better. And then I also believe in working in like 3 month sprints. So not like what's your yearly goal? What's your 3 month goal? Let's execute it. Let's get it done. Let's go to 3 more months. Let's execute it. Let's get it done and then go to it because so many things can happen within a year.
You, I think, just changed my life a little bit with the whole idea of like the month ends on the 15th.
Yeah.
Because like, yeah, like, I for me, subconsciously, I feel like the end of the month coming, and you get a little like, am I
Yeah.
going to be okay? Like, bills are due soon. And so that's
Yeah.
so fascinating to me. I really like that idea.
Yeah, try it. I really like it, and I think it's really helpful. And I think it's just insightful for people because then you do still have like a buffer. But you know, I even use like, you know, my yearly income goal this year. You know, I originally was like, hey, I want to make this by December. And then I was like, what if I could sprint and make it by July? What would that feel like? What would it do for my like stress level, for my anxiety, for my business to really go out and like capture new audiences, right? Or I could be going into November and being like, fuck, I still have to sell 20 grand. Now I'm going up against all the Black Friday stuff. Everyone's selling something and I'm stressed out. But now, because my year ended in July, I'm like, anything I bring on now is just a bonus because my goal was hit because it's a 6 month year.
Incredible.
Thanks.
Wow. I really love that, like, mind frame. Like,
Thank
yeah,
you.
really going to journal and like reflect on that, because that's some
I don't
good
know how it
shit.
goes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, Jillian, I love you. This has
I
been
love
so
you.
insightful. I've learned so much about you, but also just sales in general.
Thank you for
And I
having
guess
me.
to like, yeah, I guess to wrap it up, like, just a little bit words of advice, anyone out there struggling with sales, what can you tell them? You can
Yeah.
have it short and sweet. You can have some life lessons, whatever you're feeling.
Yeah. You know what? I always say that if you are struggling with sales, go back internal and ask yourself, are you really lit up about what you're offering? Because you should be so excited about it, right? Like you should be so excited about what you're selling. So if sales is something that's struggling to you, I ask you to go back and be like, does this really light me up? Have I changed? Do I have a different offer? Am I with a network marketing company and I'm not really aligned with those things anymore? Like figure out what it is. That's like the first thing. And then the second is remember that it's like the law of attraction. So the more excited you are about what you're doing and the more confident you are about what you're doing, the more people are going to be confident in your abilities, right? So like I just launched my last round of Real Girl Real Sales for the year. And I talked about this last night in the program. I was like, you guys are all not confident in sales. You guys are all not confident in investing. So if I was to show up and be like, I got this program, it's like pretty good, you guys should check it out, it's a couple $1,000s, your confidence level would be like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But when you see me talk about it or post about it or email, and I'm like, this program will change your life. Like whether you grow your sales or not, it's transformational and it's a steal at this price point. Like you're crazy for not getting in. Their level of confidence goes up because they're confident in me because I'm confident that I can do it. So make sure whatever it is that you're talking about, you are obsessed with it. I have a one-on-one client that I work with, quick story. She was with 18 network marketing companies and she was so ashamed of it when she came to me. She's like, I have been with 18 companies because I can't convince anybody to buy anything. And I was like, well, two things. You haven't found something that you love and you're trying to convince something to people because you're not convinced on it. Mm. Like you have to be your first sale, right? So if you're listening to this, make sure you're your first sale. Would you buy your program? Would you hire you? Would you click on your content? Would you buy a website from you? Would you invest in you? And if you would, then take that same messaging, hype, energy, magnetism out to the market and your people will massively be drawn to you. Guaranteed.
Oof. Yeah. Mic drop.
A little nugget for you.
Mic drop. Shit. Oh my God. Like, yeah, I can't wait to re-listen to this podcast because honestly, like I'm learning so much and have so much to reflect on.
Oh my God, I love you.
Yeah, this has been so good, so insightful. And I've learned so much. And I always, I always walk away just feeling like on top of the world after talking to you. So I'm really glad that you came on. And
I'm so glad. Thank you.
Shared your knowledge. Thank you so much, Jillian.
You're welcome. We need to plan another vacation soon. Let's go play somewhere.
Yes, we need to go play. Absolutely. Yes.
Awesome. Thank you for having me, Joelle. I absolutely appreciate you.
Damn, I knew that Jillian would bring the fire, but truly, holy shit. Jillian, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your expertise with us, your knowledge. You truly are just like one of my favorite people and very like no bullshit. And I appreciate you. And I always learn so much from you. And my biggest takeaway from this podcast was essentially, if you're not excited about what you're selling or what you're doing, how do you expect other people to be excited or to opt in or to buy from you? So that was a really good reminder for me and kind of sparked how I have now created these templates. For those of you who don't know, I created these templates because of this conversation with Jillian. Like I'd been talking about creating templates for the last couple of years. I knew I eventually wanted to do it because it's just an amazing way to offer really high quality work at a lower price range for people who just can't afford a huge package, or it's not like the point in their business where they need, you know, a huge customized site. So I tried to go about it, doing it different ways, doing it in ways that like other designers had, and I just kept feeling resistant to it. And I wasn't excited. And I was just like, okay, I guess I'll do it this way because it's how everyone else is doing it. But then when I actually sat back and gave myself space to think, and I was like, okay, how would I sell these templates if I could do it my way? And I've since created these templates. And if you haven't checked them out yet, please do. DoeMagicCo.com/templates. I created these for like business owners in their first couple of years of business. They are $4.99 right now. They're going to go up to like $1,000 in the new year. But I created these templates because I was like, okay, if I had a template how would I want it to be? And so I've created templates where not only are you going to get something super beautiful, super easy to edit, but you're going to have accountability and support throughout as well. So many templates I saw out there in the market, in the field, everybody, it's very passive income where you don't really have any interaction with the designer. You're not held accountable. And a lot of times you just buy this template and you try to edit it and then you get overwhelmed and it just sits on your computer. And I don't want that. I don't want that for you guys. I don't want that for like your business. Like you are so worthy of having an amazing site and you just need, you know, maybe a little extra support. So create these templates with the idea of, you know, you buy the template and then you pick your launch day so that, you know, 6 weeks from now, whatever time frame you choose, you're being held accountable. And that's when I'll hop on a phone with you. We'll talk through these templates and oh my gosh, I'm just so excited about it. And like truly this conversation changed everything for me because before I was like, I guess I could do it this way. And it just didn't feel right to sell it. And now I'm screaming it from the rooftops. I'm so excited because like this is an opportunity. These are templates that I would buy. So it just makes it a lot easier. Like, I believe in what I'm doing. I believe in what I'm selling. So heck yeah. Like, I'm going to talk about this a lot and not feel salesy or, you know, ingenuine because it's like, yeah, I am so stoked for this. So that was a big takeaway for me. I would love to hear your takeaways. If you have any, if you feel like sharing, please share this episode on your stories, tag us, How Do You Deal With, tag me, Joelle Writing, tag Jillian. And yeah, I'm really appreciative of you guys checking in. I hope that you had some good takeaways. I hope you learned some things. And Jillian, thank you again for coming on. You are an absolute powerhouse. Be sure to check her out on Instagram and on Facebook. She is just killing the game. Until next time, guys, I'll talk to you soon. Peace.